Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantha Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Go Prem Anande. So, what did we discuss in last week's class?
Good.
Anything else? Good. Anything else?
The highest quality or artistry of singing and dancing ever seen in all the universes was singing.
Yeah, very good. Anything else?
The nature of Krishna is to satisfy every devotee's desires. Everybody has been seeing this first time. Though he knew that the reason for it, why devotees are there, he wants to give all the pleasure of Krishna. At the end, he satisfies their desires.
Good. Anything else?
The demigods could only see Krishna dancing, not the gopis, because Krishna knew that if they saw them, they would feel lost.
Good point. Anything else?
And they also need 16,000 rakhas out of the kitchen. 8.4 million.
Good. Any other points? You're going to sit properly. Otherwise, you have to sit in the back, Brenda. Okay. Peacefully. Anything else? Okay, so tonight we'll continue. We'll go from verses 13 to 25. So we'll continue. What about tomorrow night class? What shall we do?
Feast is
7:30. Feast is 7:30, yeah. I don't really want to miss the class, that's the point. Because there's still a lot to cover, so. Why don't we aim for 8 o'clock? They say feast is 7:30, but sometimes they start serving at 7 or something, so. Try to be here at 8 o'clock, if you can. I'll try to start the class tonight, we'll see. What do you think? Don't think it'll happen.
Big queue. Big queue in the Kanjama. Last few weeks, what few festivals we're seeing.
Okay, yeah, but you have my permission to go to the front of the queue. You're going to come to the court. Seriously. But just go up there. That's what I'll do. I'll just go up and, you know, go up. I'm not going to line for an hour to get there. So then, you know, if we can be up here by 8 o'clock, it's possible. I'd say there's probably, because I can do it. I can go, you know, 7:15 or something, go up there. Yeah, go ahead and then see what's practical. If you see me, just follow me and we'll go up to the top of them. Because, you know, if we have to get here for class, then that's practical. Otherwise, you know, how about, do I just get to take prasadam and go home? So, yeah, we'll see what's practical. I would like to speak on Rasa Leela in Nisringadeva's appearance day. That would be nice. Plus, we still have to keep up the mend. There's a lot to cover, so. Okay, we'll see what's practical. I will be here.
Prasadam?
Yeah, or we can, if two or three people meet me, we can just go up I'll grab one bucket of each. We just bring down the dining hall. We can have
all the bhakti rankas, students, no?
You can come and take prasad then. We can do that.
You know, not offend other devotees.
Yeah, that's also a point. We can make that arrangement. So maybe we'll do that. We can just grab a bucket, we'll bring down. And then if you want to come for class at 8 o'clock, you just come down here at 7:30, take some prasad and then come on. It's practical. Yeah, it can be done. So. Okay. So tonight we'll go from verses 13 to 25. Another gopi became fatigued as she danced and sang, the bells on her ankles and waist tinkling. So she placed upon her breasts the comforting lotus hand of Lord Achyuta, who was standing by her side. So which gopi is being spoken of here? Is Chandravali. So Chandravali is placing Krishna's hand on her breast. They're dancing, and then she's taking Krishna's hand, she's put it in her breast. In other words, the symbolism or the representation of this gesture, she's placing Krishna's hand on her heart. Because she wants Krishna's hand close to her heart. It's spoken earlier, when Krishna first came back in chapter 32, one of the gopis took Krishna's foot and placed that on her breast. That means they're holding Krishna's feet to her heart. So Chandravali, who is Krishna's second favorite gopi, she's taking Krishna's hand and putting it on her breast. It's close to her heart. This is a sign of love. This is intimacy between the lovers. So, any points? Having attained as their intimate lover Lord Achyuta, the exclusive consort of the goddess of fortune, the gopis enjoyed great pleasure. They sang his glories as he held their necks with his arms. So twice Krishna has been called Achyutya. So what does that mean?
Infallible.
So once again, what is being intimated here is that Krishna is our best friend. Krishna is the only person who will not let you down. Everyone else in the material world will disappoint you. Hands up if you've been disappointed by people in this lifetime. Oh, Krishna. Everyone except Krishna has been disappointed. But that's the nature of the material world. Deha pacha, kalatradishu, atma sainesh, so it means in the material world, all of the people that we know are called fallible soldiers, Prabhupada says, within the Bhagavatam. Fallible soldiers means they will let you down. That's the nature of the material world. Right? Everyone will disappoint. The only people who cannot disappoint in the material world are Krishna's devotees. And even many devotees disappoint us. We're constantly disappointed about devotees. So it means advanced devotees. And even advanced devotees sometimes disappoint us. So it means pure devotees. The only people who cannot disappoint us, practically it's Prabhupada. Prabhupada cannot disappoint us. Because he has that purity, that level of consciousness, that level of realization, that type of bhakti, where he's on the same platform as Krishna. Krishna is transcendental to the material world, adhoksaja. And Krishna's pure devotees, like Prabhupada, are also transcendental to this material world. But everyone else will let you down, mostly. That's the nature of this world. But Krishna is achyutya, which means infallible. He will not let you down. He will always be there. Even when it appears he is not there, but he is there. He looks after all the devotees. Why? Because Krishna's heart is full of love. Actually, he's the best of all the people. That's why he's known as Purushottama. The gopis said this at the end of the Gopi Gita. Now, the discussion the gopis had with Krishna, they said, what sort of a person are you? They were upset with him, so they said, what sort of a person are you that you would treat us like this? But when Krishna explained to them why he treated them the way he did, then they said, actually, you're the best person. Out of everyone, you're the most, you're better than us. So it's a fact that Krishna is the best of all people. His qualities are the best. So he will never let a devotee down. Even though he may appear sometimes to disappoint us, but it's always for our benefit. So it is said here that Lakshmi Devi, it's explained by the Acharya, she could not enter into the Rasa Mandala. So it once again, it is showing in this part of the Bhagavad, this pastime, it is extremely rare to attain this level of, or this type of love for Krishna. It is called Sudulabha. What does Sudulabha mean? Right, it's very rare. Yeah, you cannot. It's not easy to get this type of love. It's not easy to get any type of love for Krishna, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To develop a level of selfless devotional service is extremely rare. So what to speak of madhurya ras, conjugal love towards Krishna, pure, unalloyed conjugal love towards Krishna, spiritual love for Krishna, it's extremely rare. So rare, the type of love that the gopis have for Krishna, even Lakshmi could not have that love. Because Lakshmi's love is found in Vaikuntha, and Vaikuntha is dominated by Aishwarya Bhav. And therefore, Lakshmi, even though she is the consort of Narayan, but actually her mood of bhakti is predominantly Dasya. Now, there's a little bit of Madhurya there, a little bit of conjugal, because they're husband and wife, but mainly it's Dasya. It's mainly just absorbed in awe and reverence. It is only the gopis of Vrindavan whose love for Krishna is free from awe and reverence. You see in the conversation between the gopis and Krishna, the gopis say, we know you are Lord Narayan. You are Lord Narayan. We know you're Lord Narayan. But still, they say, you have to act as we tell you. Because you are our lover. So that kind of love is extremely rare. It is incomprehensible in many ways because it is free from awe and reverence. And our bhakti, if you look at our bhakti at this point in time, is very much based upon awe and reverence. So it's a very elevated love. And it takes an incredibly deep level of prayer and desire to rise to this platform of bhakti. It means you have to become extremely serious in Krishna consciousness, much more serious than we are currently practicing our devotional service. A much deeper level of commitment, and the desire has to become intense. And it's a very high level of bhakti, so it's not something which is easily attained, it's sadhurabha. My Guru Maharaj one time, he was having prasadam in Dallas, I think, and on the wall there's a picture of Krishna with the gopis, just like you see there's a picture of Krishna with Radha. So he looked at that picture and then he became very grave. He said, you have to become very serious to enter into that picture. So if you want to attain this type of love that the gopis are showing towards Krishna, Lakshmi cannot even attain it. She can't break her awe and reverence. Right, she came from Vaikuntha. She heard about Krishna's Naralila, his pastimes in Vrindavan. So she came to Vrindavan, but she had to perform austerity, and still she could not enter the mood, because you have to give up awe and reverence towards Krishna. You have to be willing to follow the cowherd damsels of Braj, and they have a very particular mood. Even the Dwijapatnis, the Brahmana Patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, they could not even attain Krishna's conjugal association. They could not have that kind of intimacy with Krishna. Krishna said, you're in the wrong form. You have to give up that form and take birth as a gopi. And some of them did. They took up, they burned up their body and they entered the wombs of gopis. So that has to become our principal desire in devotional service. Now, if you want to go, when we say, Prabhupada said, go back home, back to Godhead. Going back to Godhead means you have to develop a love for Krishna in a particular rasa. Burujambhava, I asked him one time, I said, to go back to Godhead, you know, speaking about that topic. And he said, you have to develop love in a particular type of mood. That's how you become liberated. So you have to enter into the mood of the particular resonance of the spiritual world which you desire to follow. So that's called Rag Anuga Bhakti. That's how you enter Vrindavan. And Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha. Rag Anuga Bhakti leads to Braj Bhakti, Vrindavan. So, that may make us feel despondent. You all look very depressed at this point in time. So we'll finish the class there for today. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? So Prabodhananda Saraswati, he says, you dive deeply into the ocean of Dasya Ras, or servitorship for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you dive deeply, you just do service for Lord Chaitanya, which means to spread the Sankirtan movement. You serve ISKCON by spreading the Hare Krishna movement. And then, by diving deep into that ocean, he said, one day, you will come out on the shore of Radha Krishna's pastimes. So Sakya Das, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras. You'll come out into... So it takes qualification. And Prabhupada actually said one time, he said, for so many lifetimes, you've served so many masters. For this one lifetime, you serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at the end of your life, whatever you lack, Lord Chaitanya will cover that, and he will take you back to Godhead. So that really, that's, as far as I can see, that's the only chance we have at attaining Braj Bhakti, because it's extremely confidential and elevated. But by serving Prabhupada and ISKCON, Prabhupada said ISKCON is his body. There's no difference between Prabhupada and ISKCON, no difference. Prabhupada said, when you serve ISKCON, you are serving Prabhupada's body. It's Vani Seva. Well, it's actually Vapu Seva, which means you're actually serving Prabhupada's form by serving ISKCON, spreading the Hare Krishna movement. So by doing that, dedicating your life to that, then you will go back to Krishna. Whatever you are lacking, Prabhupada said, that will be covered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he will take you back to Krishna. So you have to give one life. Hands up if you're willing to give one life. Okay, I've got one, two, two and a half, and three and a half. Very good. The rest of you, we'll see you next lifetime in the Prasadam Hall. Because that's where you'll be. Coming back again, we have to give one life to Krishna. Just one. Give everything, one life. Everything means as much as you can. Everyone has different capacities. We can't all do the same seva. I can't cook. I don't know how to cook. I can make khichdi and porridge, and that's about it. And I learned rice and dal. And everyone knows I can make tea. But I don't have that talent. I don't have that ability. So I can't do that service for Krishna. But I can do other service for Krishna. Everyone has talent and ability. So you find what you're good at, you do that for Krishna, to help spread this movement. Right? And then, if you just do that for one lifetime, you give as much as you can, then Lord Chaitanya will take us back. That's the only hope we really have to get back to Krishna. So any points?
Well, I have some point.
Well, you have some point. Okay.
I just want to clarify why it says the exclusive consort of the goddess of fortune in this shloka.
The exclusive consort of the goddess of fortune.
Why does it mention the exclusivity? Because they've managed to take him away?
No, no, they're talking about Lord Narayan. Krishna is the consort of Lord Narayan is the consort of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So, and Krishna is none different from Narayan. So. You understand? Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune.
I understand that.
Right, the exclusive consort, there's only one consort, Narayan. And who is Narayan? It's Krishna. That's it. Any other point? Enhancing the beauty of the gopis' faces were the lotus flowers behind their ears, the locks of hair decorating their cheeks, and drops of perspiration. The reverberation of their armlets and ankle bells made a loud musical sound, and their chaplets scattered. Thus the gopis danced with the Supreme Lord in the arena of the Rasa dance, as swarms of bees sang in accompaniment. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that the beauty of the gopis was enhanced. The gopis are the most beautiful females in God's creation. There's no one more beautiful. Just like, who is the most beautiful woman on earth? Who? On earth. Yeah? So Aishwarya Roy. Most beautiful on earth. No one is more beautiful. Right. Everyone has their opinion. Whoever you choose. You can choose whoever you want. Right. So everyone has their opinion. Right. So Aishwarya Roy, Miss Universe. Right. She's a very beautiful girl. Very attractive girl. Very nice nature too. She has a good, she's nice heart. But Prabhupada says the girls in Swaga, they make the girls on earth look like frogs. What Prabhupada says. So even Aishwarya Roy is like a frog compared to
Swaga.
Right. But then you compare the girls in Swaga to the residents of Vaikuntha, and then they look like frogs, like they don't have any beauty, right? But then the residents of Vaikuntha, compared to the gopis, they don't have, and as we said last week, higher than Vaikuntha is Dwarika, so that means Krishna's queens. But then last week we heard Krishna said to Satyabhama, he said, the only reason I stay with you because you remind me of the gopis, right? So compared to the queens of Dwarika, the gopis are so much more beautiful. Right? And then out of all of them, Radharani is the most beautiful. Right? Her beauty surpasses everyone. She is the emblem of personification of feminine beauty. But even though they're the most beautiful girls, during the pastime of the Rasa Lila, their beauty becomes enhanced. They become more beautiful. And this verse describes how their beauty is enhanced. Right? So how do they become more beautiful? No? The enchanting beauty of the gopis' faces were the lotus flowers behind their ears. So what is the speciality of the description? Because they're living in a forest. Right? So everything is more...
natural.
What is it?
Natural beauty.
Yeah, natural.
And ornaments and all, it's all these floral things just decorating.
Yeah, so that's how they decorate themselves. They just put flowers. They put flowers behind their ears. Yeah. To understand this, you have to imagine that you're 16 again. Is anyone in the room 16? Oh, one boy. Hare Krishna. Welcome, Prabhuji. So to understand this verse, you really have to remember that you're 16 again. Right, that's how they're saying. Because when you're 16, you like to do things like this. You know, you put flowers behind your hair.
Love it.
Huh? Not you. But, you know, you got the special... I mean, if you look around the room, you're the only one who's got the special haircut. you know, you spend more time in front of the mirror every day than us. You know, it's like... Yeah, I mean, I was exactly the same. 16, I was exactly the same. Same haircut. You know, I can show you photos. Exactly the same haircut, right? So it's a whole thing. Because you're 16, it's what you do, right? And if you're living in Vrindavan, what do? Right, you put flowers behind the hair, right? And you dress up and they put flower bangles. It's a whole thing they're doing every day. They're making all of these ornaments and they decorate themselves. You know, it's kind of like what we would imagine like hippies are like, right? So that's what everyone is like in Vrindavan. They just run out to the forest every day, right? Mother Yashoda, every morning, she follows Krishna. I've told this pastime before. So Krishna's leaving Nandagram to go out to herd the cows, and the boys are just, they're dying to get out into the forest. Because when you're 16, do you want your parents around when you're 16? I don't know, because we're all, do you want your parents around when you're 16?
Not all the time.
Yeah, sometimes, but not all the time, right? Like if you want to have fun, it's like you're kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah. So we were exactly like that. When I was 16, you know, you just wanted to, you know, sneak off. You know, when your parents are not there, you think, yeah, now we can really have fun. Right? Enjoy. Or the best thing is when they go away for the weekend or something, then you've got the house.
Yes.
Or they go away overnight or something, you've got the house. You say, yeah, no problem. Everything will be good. Right? And then they leave and then you ring all your friends, come over. Okay? And all your friends come over and it's like, you know, have a party. Right? So that's what it's like. They cannot wait to get out into the forest. So that in the morning, they're going out every morning, Mother Yashoda's following them. Do you have enough to eat? Yeah, and they're like, no, mate, no problem. Everything's good. No problem. We have enough to eat. Don't worry. So she keeps walking. Krishna keeps walking. She runs up. She says, make sure, have you got shoes on? We don't wear shoes. We're in the forest. Please, just go back. Right? He just keeps trying to get her to go back. She keeps running out. Then finally, Madhu Mangala, Krishna's funny Brahmin friend, he turns around and he says, we don't even give a fig for Nandagram. Right? When we're out in the forest, we don't even think of Nandagram. We don't even think of your village. So, Mai, please just go back. Right? Just let us go. And finally they convince her and then they get out and then they're in ecstasy. Right? So when they get out, everyone starts making these ornaments. Right? The gopis are making, the cowboys, and they're decorating. You know, Krishna makes gunja berry, you know, the berries, wears them. Describes they pick up the peacock feathers and different colour feathers they put in their turbans. Right? And they take the minerals from the Govardhan Hill, make different colours, and they make dots. Dots on themselves, like that. They're boys. That's what they did in that time. You know, now these days, you know, you dress in a certain way because that's the way the boys and girls dress in this day. But back in that time, that's how everyone dressed. You know, they dressed in a particular way. So the gopis, they get out into the forest and they put the flowers behind their ears, right? And they're in that mood. So it enhances their beauty, right? Because they're the most beautiful girls. But when they dress like this, it enhances their beauty. And it intoxicates Krishna. Krishna becomes intoxicated by the gopis, by their beauty. Right? And they become intoxicated by his beauty. And that's how conjugal rasa develops and manifests and expands. So it says, the locks of hair decorating their cheeks. So their hair's a little bit, you know, when they're at home, then they put it all very perfectly back, but then it becomes a little loose and they just let it, you know, like girls, you know, you like to have one bit going down here, right? You like it, Brenda? You can say it's okay. You like one bit just coming down here?
She will soon.
Huh? Yeah, she will soon. Yeah, she gets that age. It's just like that one bit. You know, or it's like the boys, you know, you get your hair and then you just gotta get one bit. You know, and you get some gel, and you go like that one bit. That's what we all do, because when we're 16, that's how we feel, right? You're intoxicated by our youth, So Krishna and the gopis are like that. So they let their hair a little bit looser. And then it says, because they're dancing, because the Rasa Leela is the most ecstatic pastime, they're dancing, drops of perspiration come. And it says, when the drops of perspiration begin to come on their foreheads and everything, they become even more beautiful. So the most beautiful, but when they look like this, and everything starts becoming disheveled. And then it says, the reverberation of their armlets and their ankle bells, right? So their bells on their bangles and their ankle bells, when they're dancing, that makes them more attractive. They dance so beautifully. And the chaplets, so it means in their hair, you know, they have long braids. And then you'll see, like, you know, when girls get married, right? You don't like this? You don't like this?
No, I'm just stretching.
Just stretching. You can stay in the room if you want.
My bag away.
Okay. You don't like us? Picking on him too much. So, you know, when the girls get married in India, so then their braids, long braids, and they have flowers all the way down. So the Rasa dance is like that. So the girls have flowers all the way down. Right? So they're dressed, and then as they're dancing, because they dance very vigorously, and when the Rasa dance really rises in its momentum, they dance, and everyone's dancing very fast. So flowers are beginning to drop everywhere. So when Krishna sees that, he becomes intoxicated by their beauty. So although they're beautiful, it just becomes more beautiful and more beautiful. The gopis dance with the Supreme Lord in the arena of the Rasa dance as swarms of bees dance in accompaniment. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the presiding deity of each type of instrument manifested. Because it was such a beautiful musical performance that the deities of all the different instruments, the veena and the flute and the mridanga and the kartal, they all manifested. And then it said the sounds were just playing by themselves. So no one could see anyone. There were people playing, but even when they could not see anyone playing, but the music was just appearing out of the ether. So to serve Krishna. So the Rasa dance is so powerful, the entire universe comes. Right? We described last week, the demigods come, all the mandaris are there. It says even the other leelas come, Krishna's other pastimes manifest, and they come to witness the Rasa Leela. And then the most amazing fact is that the other incarnations come. Just like, whose birthday is it tomorrow? Nishringade Bhagwan Ki. Are you ready? When that sound came out of the pillar, the whole universe shook. Seven canons said, cosmic roar when that came out. Even he comes to watch the rustle. It's so attractive. Even imagine the Sringadev standing there. Right? Just standing there, just being absorbed in Krishna's dancing with the gopis. And Krishna knows, he says, all his incarnations come to watch. Well, that's how attractive the Rasa Leela is. So this is the most attractive pastime, and the gopis are the most attractive women. And they are so powerful, they even attract Krishna himself. So, any points?
What does chaplets?
Means the decorations in the braid.
Okay.
Any other points? Okay. In this way, Lord Krishna, the original Lord Narayana, master of the goddess of fortune, took pleasure in the company of the young women of Braja by embracing them, caressing them, and glancing lovingly at them. As he smiled, his broad, playful smiles, it was just as if a child were playing with his own reflection. So, Jamuna, you want to read?
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments as follows on this verse. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme person, absolute truth, and his potencies are unlimited. All these potencies, taking personal forms, engage Lord Krishna in his pastimes. Just as the opulent manifestation of one of his one supreme transcendental potency manifests all countless potencies of the Lord, so in the Rasa dance, Krishna manifests himself as many times as there are various potencies represented by the gopis. Everything is Krishna, but by his desire, his spiritual energy, Yogamaya, manifests the gopis. When his internal potency, Yogamaya, thus produces such pastimes for the enhancement of his transcendental emotions, it is just like a young boy playing with his own reflection. But since these pastimes are created by his spiritual potency, they are eternal and self-manifesting.
Hmm. Any points there? So the gopis are the source of Ladini Shakti. Krishna's three principal energies, Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. So Krishna is Ishvara, Parama. Krishna is Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. Sat means Sandini, Shakti. Chit means Samvit, Shakti. And then Ananda means Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti means Krishna's bliss energy. The personification of Krishna's bliss is Srimati Radharani. She is the sum total of all of Krishna's bliss. So what attracts God is bliss. What attracts us? Bliss. Right? Do you want to go somewhere if you know you're going to be happy when you go somewhere, right? Do you want to go to that place?
Yes.
Right. So if you know you're going to go somewhere you're not going to be happy, you don't want to go there, right? So we're all attracted, Anandamaya Biasat. All of us are looking after bliss. That's what we're searching for. The soul is driven by one point, right? We want to experience bliss and happiness. Why do we come here tonight? Because it's blissful. We're hearing about Krishna. So everything we do is based on that one point, right? And Krishna is exactly the same because he is the origin of all of us. So Krishna's only desire is to enjoy bliss. So how does he enjoy bliss? The way that he enjoys the supreme bliss is by associating with Radharani and the gopis. So factually speaking, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out, the gopis, in one sense, they are achincha beda, beda tattva, which means they are one with Krishna, but they are different from. So in one sense, even Prabhupada, is one lecture where Prabhupada explains that. He says, Radha and Krishna are one. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, for the purpose of pastime, they become two. But it's God, Shakti, Man, and Shakti. Right? It is the energy, energetic, and the energy. So in one sense, they are one. And Prabhupada gives a simple example, just like there's sun and sunshine. So it is the same. Right? Sun and sunshine, they're not different. But they are different. But they're not different. So Krishna and the gopis are not different in one sense. But in another sense, they are different. So Krishna is dancing with the gopis. This is Ladini Shakti. It means he will get bliss. Right? So something that makes God blissful must be the supreme thing. Because Krishna does not waste his time with mediocre experiences. Just like in this world, we all try to get happiness. Right? And not everything we do is Krishna conscious because we're not so advanced yet. So then we try to get a little bit of happiness, so we do a bit of this and a bit of that as well. But it never ends up being that happy. Most of the time it's just unenjoyable. Just like you go for a holiday somewhere, or just like people go to Cairns, up north of Australia, right? Go for a holiday. Some of you, you've been to Cairns for your holidays, your family holidays. But I know people who went there, you know, fly up to the tropics, some beautiful place, and there was a plague of marsh flies. So you couldn't even go on the beach, because every time you went on the beach, flies would land on you and they'd bite you. So, you know, you've gone there for bliss, for happiness, but then you don't get it. So Krishna does not waste his time trying to enjoy the material energy. Because the material energy is dukkhala yama shashvatam. It is meant for misery and... Right? So if you actually want to experience bliss, then you have to associate with Krishna's internal potency, Padini Shakti. And who is that? Shivati Radharani, the gopis. So that's why it is called Rag Anuga Bhakti. Because if we associate with Radharani and the gopis, you will be completely happy. Actually, in the Prema Samput, did anyone read that book? Prema Samput by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So that's an expansion on the final verses from the Gopi Gita, right, in the previous chapters. So in that description, Srimati Radharani, she says at one point that if you want to be my servant, you have to come to Vrindavan and you must never leave. So that's the price you have to pay. Hands up if you want to be Srimati Radharani's servant. Okay, some of you. Okay. So it means you have to go to Vrindavan and never leave. Now, hands up if you're willing to do that. Well, three of you say you are. I don't know if I believe you or not. I'm glad you said that, but I don't know if you believe, because I've studied this statement myself, right, and I have a desire in my heart to be a servant of Srimati Radharani, and I also have a desire to live in Vrindavan. But then when Radharani says, "It's okay, I will let you serve me, I'll let you stay in Vrindavan, but you have to never leave." Right? When I hear those words and I go deep in my heart and I study it, I'm not ready to do that. It doesn't mean you have to physically go to Vrindavan, what we call Vrindavan in this world. It means to be in your consciousness always with and always willing to serve Radharani without any other desire. I'm not ready to do that yet. So I can't get her association. I want her association, but I can't get her. I'm not qualified. Don't have enough desire. So that's the qualification. If you want to go to Vrindavan, if you want to enjoy bliss, you have to give up everything else. So it all sounds easy, but it's not very. I wish you luck. I pray for you. I hope you get to Radharani. You're welcome. But it's not easy. Easy to talk about it, but to do it, that's another thing. So to become a gopi or a follower of the gopis, a mandira nature, it's not easy. You have to give up your material desires. Right? But when I go right in my heart, then I think I'm not ready to do that. But we're confident. We'll get back to Krishna. Because we're on the path. We're not going to leave the path. So we will get back. Any points?
Our friend Ashidharajaya.
Ashidharajaya. Went to Vrindavan. Asit's an advanced devotee. He's a very inspiring devotee. Very inspiring. Yeah, I mean, what he went through, that circumstance Krishna put him in, and then he renounced the material world and entered into devotional service very deeply. He's very inspiring.
Sent his son to Mayapur?
Yeah, it just inspired. If you look at what he did, most people actually couldn't do that, what he did. He's an inspiring. It's quite advanced to see. Any points?
It's true, Prabhu. It's not very easy to live in Vrindavan because one of Mataji, she came to Yashodhami Mataji. She's been living in Vrindavan for the last 25 years. She's very stable. And the way she's living there, it's a really austere life.
But what we mean when we say you must live in Vrindavan, we don't mean the physical Vrindavan.
Yes.
It's a state of consciousness.
Yes. And she was telling that if we are living in Vrindavan and thinking of other place, it is offense to Hurikam as well. If we are thinking of other places, I was happy there, I was happy there. So it's a offense to Hurikam as well. So internally, mentally also, you have to renounce everything and then you enter into Vrindavan.
Yeah, it says that Lord Chaitanya actually says to Jagadananda Pandit, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, "I only go to Vrindavan for 3 days. If you're going to stay more than 3 days, because I stay more than 3 days, I usually go for 2 weeks or one day, then if you go there, you have to be in the right consciousness, you have to be in the association of the right devotees and performing the right activities. Otherwise, don't go there for very long. Just go there, offer obeisances, pray, but then if you're going to stay there, you have to be in the right mood. Otherwise, like you said, it becomes offensive. I know sometimes I've been in the right consciousness for different reasons, especially when you get sick there. Something about Vrindavan likes to... Your physical body becomes sick quite often. You experience? Sometimes, yeah, sometimes, some trips. Remember that trip I told you I want to go on? Sri Chaitanya was there. I woke up in the morning. During the night I was throwing up and very... I saw him in the morning, I said, book me a ticket back. I want to go back. And he came back half an hour later, he said, your ticket can't be changed. I said, oh my God. He was laughing at me. He said, it's okay, just stay. But then I said, I want to get out of here now. But the next day I was feeling okay, and then I was... So I'm glad I couldn't change my ticket. But sometimes it's like that. It makes you... It tests you. But then when you get into that consciousness... And when your material body is suffering, then sometimes your mind takes shelter of other things other than Vrindavan. And at that time, it becomes offensive to stay there. Because your mind's on the right concept. It's a test. It's a real test. That's why Krishna makes us sick. He makes you sick when you're there, because then he wants to show you what goes on in your mind. And it's not so easy. You're there, but then you're not actually there. And then he says, see? So, not easy to become Krishna conscious. Yes, sir.
Prabhupada said here in Melbourne, as soon as we offer ourselves to be enjoyed by Krishna and serve according to his order, then we are in Vrindavan. Hmm.
Very good. Yeah, it's not an external state of consciousness. Vrindavan, when Radharani says, come here and stay with me, that just means being with her in consciousness. It doesn't mean going to some place. It just means right here, right now. But in your heart, you will never leave her service. So that's not so easy. Anything else?
I think probably ultimately it depends on the question.
Yeah, ultimately.
We can desire, we are limited. So how can we deal with it? I think we have to fully
Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada said, depend on the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
Any other point?
I think we have a flyer down in the showcase. As soon as you obey to Krishna's orders, you are not in Melbourne. You are in transcendental world.
Yeah. Okay. Their senses, overwhelmed by the joy of having his physical association, the gopis could not present their hair, their dresses, and their clothes covering their breasts from becoming disheveled. Their garlands and ornaments scattered, O hero of the Kuru dynasty. So normally, in Vedic culture, women dress very carefully and very chastely. That's the nature of a cultured civilization. The gopis are the most cultured. They're the most chaste. But they're in so much ecstasy in the dancing. Everything's becoming loose and they're just lost in their ecstasy to serve Krishna. So then their hair's becoming loose and the clothes are becoming loose and everything. But everyone's just in so much bliss. Because to be with Krishna and to have his touch... Then the bliss is incalculable, or we cannot understand it or fathom how much bliss they're in. So normally they would not do like this, but the ecstasy is just too... The Rasa Leela is too ecstatic. And Krishna likes to see them like this. Because normally they're very composed and chaste. And Krishna, just enjoy yourself. Nothing to worry about, just enjoy yourself, unlimitedly. Right? And then at the end, then everyone dresses very carefully and they go back. All night they dance, then what happens after they finish dancing? We'll hear in the next couple of verses, it says what happens. Because Rasa Leela has four divisions. What are the four divisions of Rasa Leela? Wandering through the forest? dancing.
Water pastimes.
First entering into private kunjas for intimate pastimes, and then jal keli, going and taking bath. So you see now it's actually described. These. So at the moment we're in the dancing phase, but now they're about to do the other phases also. The wives of the demigods, observing Krishna's playful activities from their aeroplanes, were entranced and became agitated with lust. Indeed, even the moon and his entourage, the stars, became astonished. So once again, it describes that the men, the male demigods, they could not see the gopis. They just saw many Krishnas dancing. But it says the apsaras, the wives of the demigods, they could see the gopis and they could see Krishna.
Right.
But the defect is that lust comes into the heart. When you see beautiful girls and beautiful boys, then what happens? Lust comes into the heart. Right. Even we read all of this and we think, we read this and then we think, that's it, I'm giving up my attachment to the material world. But then you walk down the street, a beautiful girl walks past, then you're looking at her. Right? It's that our lust just manifests in our consciousness. Right? Yet we are extremely elevated to free yourself from this contamination of karma. Right? So the wives of the demigods, but when they saw Krishna dancing with the girls, that's why Lord Chaitanya says, don't approach all of this prematurely. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you do approach it prematurely, then virasa manifests. Lust will begin to manifest within the consciousness. You have to be very careful. If you're not qualified, don't read these things. Go back to the beginning. Go back to Bhagavad Gita and understand all these points. That's why Krishna says what's the first thing he says in the Bhagavad Gita? What's the principle?
You're not the body.
Yeah, the difference between matter and spirit. Well, the first thing Krishna says, you're not the body. Why? Because later on you're going to study things which, if you are thinking your body, you won't understand it. So the first thing he says is, you're not your body. And we still don't understand it. How many years you've been reading Bhagavad Gita? How many years? I've been reading Bhagavad Gita for many years. But still I don't understand, I'm not my body. And because I can't understand the first instruction that Krishna gives us, then we can't understand Krishna with the gopis. Because we see it in terms of material calculation or material understanding. So when the wives of the demigods were looking down, lust was manifesting within their consciousness.
So those demigod wives are lustier behind Krishna, right?
What's that?
The demigods' wives, they are lust over Krishna.
But the problem is, even you see Krishna himself, but the desire has to be that I want to serve him. So later on we're going to read in about, what chapter are we in? 33. So when is Krishna going to Mathura? It's at the end of the 30s and beginning of the 40s. So in about 10 chapters. So when Krishna enters into Mathura, Kubja sees him. And Kubja is a very interesting personality. When we study this, we'll study it next year. We're up to 33. Where are we going to get to this year? Well, maybe this year we'll touch it. Either later this year or early next year, we'll study when Kubja sees Krishna, she was not pure. So even though it was Krishna, but still some material lust was there towards Krishna. You can't attain Krishna with material lust. So even though they were seeing Krishna himself, but they weren't seeing him in the right way. What's the qualification of the gopis? They see Krishna, they think he's beautiful, but they think, let us serve him. Let him enjoy us. Right? Whereas the wives of the demigods, they see him, and they think, let us enjoy him. So it's not the right consciousness. And that's what would happen. If we saw Krishna and the gopis now, we would think, oh yeah, I can enjoy that. And that's what Kubja was thinking. She said to Krishna, I'm a beautiful boy, I would like to enjoy it. She said straight to him, I would like to enjoy you. Yeah. And Krishna smiled. No, for different reasons. He's also a bit embarrassed as well that she spoke like that. And then he touched her and then he purified her. And he actually went and he actually united with her, but then he purified her consciousness, took her to a higher level of consciousness because she was not pure. So that shows how exalted the gopis are, that they don't see Krishna in this way. Any points? Expanding, which one are we on? 90. Expanding himself as many times as there were cowherd women to associate with, the Supreme Lord, though self-satisfied, playfully enjoyed their company. So if someone says that Krishna is material or lusty, what do we say? Yeah, you don't know him. That's a good answer, actually. That's a very good answer. You don't know him. Radharani actually says that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one time where one person says, "Oh, you know, he's off doing this and that." Radharani said, "You don't know him. He's not like that. He might appear like he's like that, but he's not like that. You don't know him. He would do anything for you." So yeah, it's a very good answer, but. If someone says, "Well, he's up dancing with all the girls," yeah, okay, he's dancing with all the girls, but there's 3 billion of him, right? So if you say, "Well, Krishna's doing it, I can do it," okay, so expand yourself, right? Just make 2 of you, right? And then we'll, right? Or if you're really good, you make 8 of you, like Narada could do. But Prabhupada says, when Narada expanded himself into 8 forms and went into the different palaces in Dwarka, that's as many forms as he could manifest. Right? A living entity can only go 8 times, or 9, because it's the original form of the other 8. Right? When who was on the chariot flying around the universe with Devahuti? Kardama. So it says he expanded himself. 9 forms. Narada, 9 forms. That's it. That's as far as it goes. So someone says, "Well, Krishna's lusty." Okay, well then you do what he does. He just expanded himself 3 billion times. Right? So there is no lust. This is God. Right? So don't criticize God. And don't put your mundane, limited, material perception onto God. It's another thing. His power is unlimited. So if he wants to do it, he can do whatever he wants to do. Seeing that the gopis were fatigued from conjugal enjoyment, my dear king, merciful Krishna lovingly wiped their faces with his comforting hand. So what's he doing here? Yeah. Very good. So, but generically, what is he doing? Yeah, he's serving his devotees. Have you seen him do this before? Anyone read the Bhagavad Gita? What's he doing? What does he do all the time? What's he doing right now? We can't even breathe. Right? If he's not involved, we can't even breathe. What about the prasad you ate today? Hands up if you had prasad today. No one fast? No, because tomorrow's a fast day, so we had to eat. Right? So we took prasad. Where did that come from? So he's looking after us all the time. All he does is serve. All he does is serve. Right? So that's why, what's the most important principle that we should follow? Vaishnava Seva. Why should we serve devotees? Because that's all Krishna does. So if Krishna's doing it, that's what we should do. Right? So he personally wipes the perspiration from the gopis, personally with his own hand. Right? Very intimate, very loving. The gopis humored their hero with smiling glances, sweetened by the beauty of their cheeks and the effulgence of their curly locks and glittering golden earrings. Overjoyed from the touch of his fingernails, they chanted the glories of his all-auspicious transcendental pastimes. So they were just, at this point in time, they're just intoxicated with bliss. Have you ever been intoxicated with bliss? Yeah, I'm intoxicated with bliss all the time. If you're a devotee, you should feel blissful all the time. If you're a devotee, that's how you should feel, blissful. Now, if you're not blissful, it means there's something wrong with your application of devotional service. Of course, our bliss is not like what the gopis are feeling. But even for us, it's so blissful. Right? Devotional service is so ecstatic. And if you say, well, I'm not feeling ecstatic, that's your problem. It is, because devotional service itself is blissful. Right? So if you're not feeling blissful, that's your problem. Right? If you're not blissful tomorrow, what's tomorrow? In the Sringa Jatadasa, if you're not blissful tomorrow, you have a problem. Seriously, you have a problem. You need counseling. Right? You need help. Right? You need some help. If tomorrow you're not blissful, you need some serious help. Unless you're really sick. And even then you should still be blissful. That's advanced. When you're sick and still blissful, that's advanced. But we should be blissful. If we're not blissful, if you can't be blissful tomorrow, there's a problem. If you're in front of the deities tomorrow during the Abhishek, right, with 10,000 other people, and you're not blissful, you have a problem. That's the nature of devotional service. And the gopis are just swept away. They're intoxicated.
It's so inspiring to hear that even though the gopis are being served like this by Krishna, and you know, when they are feeling ecstatic with the touch of Krishna's fingernails and all, but still they are singing his glories, like they get together in a group and they are singing his glories. That's so inspiring to see. It's not just lust. They always remember to sing and chant his names and his glories and his offspring.
Yeah, Ananya Bhakti. Unending devotion. Mm. So that's bhakti. Bhakti means it doesn't stop and start. Lord Krishna's garland had been crushed during his conjugal dalliance with the gopis and coloured vermilion by the kunkum powder of their breasts. To dispel the fatigue of the gopis, Krishna entered the water of the Jamuna, followed swiftly by bees who were singing like the best of the Gandharvas. He appeared like a lordly elephant entering the water to relax in the company of his consorts. Indeed, the Lord had transgressed all worldly and Vedic morality, just as a powerful element might break the dikes in a paddy field. So he is the supreme enjoyer. You know, in India, they make in the fields, there's all the dikes, like where the rice is grown. So they put like some earth, they make the barriers, then flood it, and then they grow. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. And the elephant just comes through and just... That's Krishna. Right? Describes a number of times in this in these pastimes. He's like a mad elephant. You know, an elephant has too much honey, and he just starts going. Right? He just becomes mad and just does what he wants to do. Right? So that's what he's like. That's how he feels in this Rasa Lila. I'll just dance, I'll do whatever I want to do. Right? This is not moral. I don't care. These women are meant to be at home with their husbands. I don't care. Now, what will anyone do? That's Krishna. That's his, because he's the supreme enjoyer. He's the only one who's allowed to do this. Anyone else does it, we will beat them. You're dancing with someone else's wife? I mean, come here, right there. Smash. We'll take you out the back of the village, right? We'll whack you. And we'll leave you there. I'll say, you want to come back in the village? You change. Right? So Krishna does it, he can do whatever he wants. Then Krishna said, now what's anyone going to do? So further on, we'll go into a pastime of Shankachuda. You know Shankachuda? It's coming up not far away from this. Very interesting pastime. Because he thought he could do what Krishna was doing. Right? And Krishna was not very impressed. So not only I can do this. Interesting, because when Shankachuda came, Krishna was having a joint Rasa Lila with Balaram. Lord Balaram and Krishna were together, dancing with their gopis, their two groups. They brought them together. And then Shankachuda came in, and then Krishna was very upset.
What happened?
What's that?
Did the gopis enter in the water of Vrindavan?
Everybody. I tell you, everyone was in there.
6 billion.
You don't know how many were in there.
6 billion.
6 billion. Everyone. 50. And it wasn't crowded. Yeah, we can't even understand this. You know, 6 billion people in one, that's like everyone on Earth right now. Right, 7 billion on Earth. That means everyone on Earth comes to the Yarra River. Right, and then everyone jumps in at the same time. Right. So the fact that Krishna can do this means that it's a chincha shakti. It doesn't feel crowded, it's not like Kumbh Mela. Yeah, Kumbh Mela is like, you know, everyone's trying to jump in and there's people dying and people walking on each other. It's not like that. It's everyone's got room and it's all peaceful. And so, yeah, how he does it, it's called a chincha shakti. My dear king, in the water, Krishna found himself being splashed on all sides by the laughing gopis who looked at him with love. As the demigods worshipped him by showering flowers from their aeroplanes, the self-satisfied lord took pleasure in playing like the king of elephants. Then the lord strolled through a small forest on the bank of the Jamuna. This forest was filled to its limits with breezes carrying the fragrances of all the flowers growing on the land and in the water. Followed by his entourage of bees and beautiful women, Lord Krishna appeared like an intoxicated elephant with his she elephants. Although the gopis firmly attached to Lord Krishna, whose desires are always fulfilled, the Lord was not internally affected by any mundane sex desire. Still, to perform his pastimes, the Lord took advantage of all those moonlit autumn nights which inspire poetic descriptions of transcendental affairs. So it describes the autumn nights. The nights were intoxicating. As it describes here, we've described in the last few weeks, the aromas in the forest were intoxicating. It was so, like when jasmine is fully blown, just intoxicates. So Krishna, the night was offering itself to Krishna. Everything in Vrindavan is personified. So in Vrindavan in the evening, even when we go to Vrindavan here on Earth, when the sun goes down, something mystical takes place. You can feel it in the atmosphere. It's like there's like an energy there, which you can almost touch. It's just like there's something there. It's very powerful. So at that time, the knight, who is a personality, she offered herself a service to Krishna. So then Krishna, he wanted to reciprocate. So he thought, I will enter into the night and I will enjoy. That will be my, that will give the evening pleasure. So Krishna, he just wants to make Vrindavan happy because Vrindavan is a personality. So he entered into it like a mad elephant. And it says the intoxicating feature of these evenings was that six seasons manifested at once. So he went into the evening and then it was all there. A monsoon manifest, another part of the forest, summer manifest, another winter. So all the different types of flowers, he was just wandering through and all the seasons were coming to serve him wherever he, and they would offer their best flowers to him. So he was just intoxicated and he just wanted to reciprocate and make Vrindavan happy. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan a key. Sri Krishna Bhagwan a key. Sri Prabhupada a key.